Hey everybody, this is David Skorica, and this is another in our series of podcasts with corporate CEOs. So today I have the CEO of Goldcliff. This is a deal that some of you have just bought a private placement in, some of you have just purchased. It's an exploration company in Nevada, which of course is one of our favorite areas in the United States and in the world for that matter, to explore for gold in. George, welcome here today, and please tell us. Okay, so what we do in these things, as I've explained, is we usually have an overview. We talk about what the company is doing. You know, why maybe you decided to join this company. Maybe tell us a bit about yourself, and then maybe the plans for the future in terms of the exploration, and of course, where exactly you are in Nevada, and why you think it's an interesting prospect.
Well, thanks, David. I'm not sure I can fit all of that into just a few minutes, but I'll try. Goldcliff is a exploration and late-stage development-focused company. We've been around since the early 1990s. We restructured our efforts a little over 3 years ago with a 10-for-1 rollback and a refocus out of British Columbia and into Nevada. And we were working on an initial project called Pine Grove that has some ownership challenges in terms of it is two juniors in joint venture on a project, which makes ongoing financing a little difficult. So we are looking for ways to resolve that and consolidate that. And as part of that exercise, we were looking for additional assets of either late-stage development projects or something with good discovery potential leverage. And in the late spring, we found one in the Nevada Rand project. And I'll come back and talk about the details of that in just a second. But following the restructuring of Goldcliff a few years ago and a couple of financings, we currently have 37.7 million shares issued, of which myself and four other directors together own over 40% of that stock. So it's what we call a well-structured vehicle. Our board is also an active board and comprises the management team. And I would point out to any investors that we're one of the few junior exploration teams that do not take wages. The technical guys will build a company for work that they do, but there are no salaries in Goldcliff. So we have significant skin in the game. We're looking to develop the business, and we don't suck the money out of the treasury into our own pockets. All of the members of the board have been in business for at least 40 years. Three of those members are geoscientists. We have a mining engineer on the board. We have a geophysicist and a geochemist. The geophysicist is also a geologist. And two of us have a corporate finance background. So we think we bring a very lean administrative and management experience to the company. The company has a very strong shareholder base beyond the 40% that's owned by the board. There are several family members, business associates, and friends that own significant blocks of the stock that are not included in the 40%. So we think that in the new market eras, that's, while it's a little bit of an old-fashioned structure, it does provide some stability because, as you all know, the exploration and even the development business is fairly high risk. So it's good to have a strong corporate financial foundation on which to base activities.
Yeah, and I would say that actually that's one of the reasons the stock has acted very well. Even with gold breaking out, I have noticed during this recent kind of consolidation or pullback, a lot of juniors have actually acted very poorly and have taken back a lot of their gains. And I think your guys having this kind of tight share structure has helped, because there's really no overhead to kind of slam the market, even if if gold spends a few weeks or a few months under 1500.
We think that gives us a chance. Obviously, all exploration companies, being non-earnings and non-revenue generating, need to rely on equity markets for financing. And so as a project advances, more capital is required, more financing is required, the capital structure expands. So beginning a new project, it's nice to have one that's under a reasonable amount of control. Now, of that 37.7 that's out, it includes just under $9 million that was recently issued in the last several weeks as part of a financing to move ahead with the Nevada RAND project. And of that financing, I was the lead order, adding a million share position to an already large position. So we don't just own stocks because we're insiders. We actually write checks alongside other shareholders. And we think the thing is well positioned to respond to any good news from a high-grade project, which is what we're focused on. And that would be a good segue to talk about the most important component to the story, which is the asset. I have been a long time member of the board of directors and personal associate of the crew that put together Silvercrest, both the original Silvercrest Mines, which was acquired a few years ago by First Majestic, and then more recently the Silvercrest Metals, which has been one of the leading performers in the last 18 months in what everybody knows has been a very brutal bear market. And the reason that stock performed so well and achieved the market recognition and market cap premium is one phrase, high grade. So at their Las Chispas property, they've been able to demonstrate some continuity of narrow but high grade veins with mineralization that averages over a kilo per ton silver. So the market responded to that. Another company that the market responded to is a producer that's doing a lot of expansion drilling and, again, discovery of a high-grade zone. And that's a company called Westome. Many of your followers and your audience would be familiar with those two stories, because they have been stellar performers in the bear market. At the producer level, Kirkland Lake has been a stellar performer, and again, that's on the basis of, while not spectacular, very consistent high-grade production from their Australian operations. And again, the charts of these three stocks look completely different than the rest of the participants in the industry. And I mention that because as we were looking around for an additional asset, we were predisposed to be interested in investigating opportunities that might have high grade to them. And Nevada RAND is just such an opportunity. It came to us sort of by accident. We were doing a due diligence visit in Nevada on another project, and the vendor said, well, I have this other thing nearby, and we started talking about it, and when he explained a little bit of the background of it, We said, absolutely, let's go and see it. And it was at that visit that we recognized geologically a really powerful mineralizing system, and the potential economic expression was from several old exploration and small development shafts along the strike of the structure, many different prospect pits in the area. So we knew that the old-timers that had sunk these exploration shafts and exploited some of the high-grade, while those weren't particularly large mines, they were part of a much larger system, and so that attracted us to the project. We were able to secure it on what we think is very favorable terms. The total package is can be acquired by Goldcliff at a cost of only $250,000 US, and of that total, it's payable over 4 years, with the largest payment being in year four. The initial down payment was $10,000, and what's attractive about that is it means that the highest risk money coming from new investors can be pretty much guaranteed that it's going to go into the ground, testing and exploring the asset, and not into the hands of the property vendor. So we like the deal structure, we like the total cost of the deal, and we felt that the opportunity to test the former high grade, expand those zones laterally and at depth, was quite high. The geometry of the zone hosting the mineralization and the hillside was such that we saw an opportunity to be able to do that testing with drilling a number of fairly short holes. And just to put that in perspective, if your zone is dipping into the hillside, it's very difficult to test it with a drill. Sometimes you have to go onto the other side of the hill and drill a lot of country rock just to hit your target. And at the early days of testing these things, it's important to have an opportunity to drill more than one or two holes. So we saw just the physical lay of the land was such that it would facilitate a number of drill holes for not a very large contract. And we liked the possibility of that. We liked the leverage of being able to demonstrate that there's still high grade left while spending less than $500,000. And that on top of the share structure, we think could provide, given results, could provide an opportunity for a serious revaluation of the market cap of Goldcliff.
And in terms of, you mentioned the drilling, what's the actual timeline and, say, amount being spent on drilling, say, in the next 3 to 6 months?
We've done, just completed and are waiting results on an initial sampling program that was conducted in the last 2 weeks of August. And that entailed brand new prospecting, brand new mapping, drainage sediment sampling for geochemical signatures. And we were able to access this old shaft. This shaft was originally sunk in 1905, and then through a series of different owners and operators, it was eventually extended to 450 feet of depth, which is only 137 meters. It was primarily an exploration shaft, although it was exploited. So we wanted to know before we drilled that, just what was the extent of the underground workings. We had old data, but it was incomplete data set. So we wanted to see for ourselves. to ensure that we weren't going to, you know, there wasn't stuff that was faulted off or it was more extensively mined than was reported, in which case you could drill into an existing stope or a void. So we were very fortunate to be able to get underground. We contracted a couple of Western Great Basin experienced geos who specialize in old workings in the Old West, and those guys were terrific. They had all the rigging and gear and safety protocols to be able to get underground and map it and sample it. So that work was already done, and that was important because we should have results from that in the next week or two. That once those results are compiled, they will help us better zero in on the drill program, on exactly where we want to build drill pads and what kind of program we want to run. So that work, David, will be done in the next couple of weeks. And the first thing that happens with that is that the permit application is processed from that work. So we hope to have a permit submitted before the end of October. This is BLM-administered ground. The initial drill program we would look to permit would be well within the 5 acres of disturbance. So we see no reason why that permit wouldn't turn around sometime between 4 and 6 weeks. That puts us kind of in the winter, which can be a good time to drill in Nevada. We're at about 5,000 foot elevation, so we will get a little snow there, but it shouldn't be prohibitive. So that program would be ready for drilling very late this year or the early of 2020.
Okay, well, thanks for that. And I'd like to end it off here because, like we were talking off air, I like to keep these things between 15 and 20 minutes. So also, and this is just from my side, I know, like I said some of my people invested or participated in a 10-cent financing. So you're doing a similar financing now with similar terms, 10 cents of the half a warrant at 20. So if anyone is interested on from my side, please write me an email. And I'll send you off the forms and information, where to send the money, et cetera. And how long do you think that financing will be open for?
We would like to close it by the end of October.
Okay.
We have enough money in the bank right now to run the program I just talked about. This financing is an additional 4 million units at a dime, so it's not a large financing. And it's a little over half spoken for already, but there is some room if someone wanted to participate. And there was demand for more at the last minute before we closed the recent one, and we decided to do it again on the same terms and same conditions to just give us a little extra capital to make sure we have a cushion, particularly if we have some success with drilling. We'd like to be able to continue the drill program and not have to shut it down pending a refinancing.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. And what we'll do is we'll follow this up probably sometime in early January, and hopefully you'll have some results by then, and we'll see what happens. But again, and for the financing, people can contact me. And again, thanks for being here.
Terrific. My pleasure.